WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Two key words here, fiscal cliff. When the state legislature missed its deadline a couple of months ago to restore millions of dollars in funding for our region's transportation agencies, well, those agency leaders warned back then that this would cause major problems. Like, imagine the CTA bus that you take to work or school every day suddenly being gone. It no longer exists. Or never being able to take a metro train outside of rush hour. And you can forget about riding PACE on weekends. So I'm talking hefty service cuts across the board if the budget hole isn't plugged fast. Now, Illinois lawmakers could get another chance to revisit these transit funding concerns in the fall, in the veto session, but that's not a guarantee. So what does all of this mean for Chicagoans who rely on public transportation? At the table, Senator Ram Vilivalam, who represents Illinois' 8th District, Rob Nash, who's Director of Government Affairs for the Regional Transportation Authority, or RTA, Kyle Lucas, who's executive director at Better Streets Chicago, and Audrey Wenning, who's director of transportation for the Metropolitan Planning Council. Now, our panel of experts will help us understand the public transit fiscal cliff, how we got here in the first place, and what, if anything, the RTA can do to work around any big changes. Now, just a reminder, we're facing a $770 million budget gap here. So Rob started us off by breaking down this fiscal cliff.
So, as you said, we're facing a $771 million operations budget gap for 2026. Currently, the transit system is being supported by a tranche of federal relief dollars that were issued in the pandemic's wake, and that has allowed the system to maintain full service. But those funds will be exhausted as we move into 2026, and so we'll be confronted with the potential reality of having to make some very drastic service cuts, as you noted, and potential other changes to the system to try and fill that hole. And so we've been working diligently and appreciate the Senator's efforts over the last several years to try and identify how we fix this problem. One note of context that I think is important for this conversation is just that while the pandemic sort of catalyzed some of these issues, the system has been chronically underfunded for decades.
Yeah, how did it get so big? $771 million is a huge number.
Well, if you look at the drop-off in ridership in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic, particularly for Metro, which is a little bit more commuter-focused, it was significant. For Metro, for example, almost 98% of their ridership declined in that immediate period.
Right.
And system-generated revenue fares, is the largest source of revenue that the system creates for itself. And when you have that significant drop-off, that's where the federal government needed to step in. I will also just note that this is a phenomenon that affected transit systems across the world and certainly across the United States.
So we're not alone, for sure.
Yeah, so that the conditions created by the pandemic really hit everyone. And there was just that drop-off in demand. But it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, we do have momentum. We've had double-digit ridership increases each of the last 3 years. We're going to do it again this coming year. And so we have a system that really is a tremendous asset to the region. And we're all, I think, focused and share a common goal of making sure we find the resources to support it.
Yeah. Senator, I remember a couple of months ago when we were all sort of waiting with bated breath for the vote. What happened? Why didn't this get voted on before that fiscal year deadline?
Thank you. And I think for the question and for having me, I would start by saying, we've been very deliberative on this issue. We engaged the Chicago Metropolitan Agency on Planning a few years ago to convene stakeholders, submit a report to the governor of the Illinois General Assembly. Based on that report, we introduced legislation. We had 8 Senate Transportation Committee hearings with over 35 hours of testimony. As you can imagine, this is a very challenging issue. We're talking about creating a world-class public transit system mm-hmm. that's safe, reliable, accessible, and integrated.
With multiple agencies involved.
Multiple agencies, 4 different agencies, 21 different appointing authorities, 47 different appointments. I would argue this public transit system is not just important for Chicago, but Collar Counties, the rest of the state, frankly, the Midwest. And it took a lot of negotiations. The Senate did move forward on House Bill 3438. It passed out of the Senate with robust reforms to streamline these different agencies to provide the service that mm-hmm. all of our residents want and need and deserve. And we did so with also a $1.5 billion investment in public transit, which is almost double what the fiscal cliff is, because we want a system not just for tomorrow or the next year, but for the next several decades that works for everyone.
You worked with legislators on this as well, Audrey. In your view, what happened here? Why didn't we see that House vote?
Well, I think, we ran out of time. But also, I think what is really critical to understand here is that this is really big deal, big reforms as well as big money. It's important to take a deliberative process, as the senator has led us through. Mm-hmm. And this is a really big opportunity that we can also be really excited about. There's a chance for a fully integrated regional transit system. There's a chance for not only filling a gap, but funding beyond what we have now, so that we'll have more buses and more trains than we have now, that maybe there's a metro train every 30 minutes. Maybe you have many more services that are running till midnight or all around the clock. Mm-hmm. You'll have buses and trains that are timed, so you'll never ride up on your train and see the bus leave. So it's a real mind shift, and it's a real transformative opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's big and it's hard. And a lot of conversations.
And it all seems like a no-brainer. Yeah. Like, we would all want what you just described, but were some lawmakers opposed? When I go back to sort of the why we didn't get there.
Sure. I mean, votes on revenue are never easy, right? And so that's probably the hardest part is just coming up with a revenue package that everyone can agree with what the sources are. But what I would say that was really good news was there was fairly widespread agreement about the reforms to the governance. So those are needed in order to give the legislators confidence that when they come up with this new tranche of money, which won't be easy, they're going to have confidence that it's going to be used really well in a transformative way for a system that will carry us for 20, 30, 40 more years and make life better for regional residents.
Kyle, let's bring you in here. So if this funding doesn't come through, talk to me about what that's going to look like for daily riders, daily CTA riders especially.
I mean, to not mince words, it's going to be absolutely devastating if we don't get this funding. And it's not hard to see examples. We can look to what's happening in Philadelphia. They are one step ahead of us in this process. Mm-hmm. Their state legislature has failed to pass funding in time, and they are facing 45% service cuts.
Yeah, they're in talks right now, and if lawmakers in Philly don't reach a deal by Thursday, I hear, then their buses and train routes will be slashed.
Yes. And they're
no ifs, ands, or buts.
They're out putting up signs around bus stops right now saying, hey, this bus route is not going to exist maybe next week. That's a very real reality. So, this is something that we need to understand, is that can happen here. It's not a given. And so that's why we've been working really hard to, make it clear to legislators that this is really important, and that if there are real consequences if this doesn't get done. People not being able to get to their job, mm-hmm. not being able to make it to healthcare appointments. But even just being able to go get coffee with a friend, that's really important too. That's community. That's our economy. And so it will have far-reaching impacts that I think it's hard for us to even to account for how devastating it would be with, we're talking 40% service cuts in the city in the entire region.
Right, and to be specific, what, 4 train lines and more than 65 buses?
It's unfathomable.
Yeah.
65 bus routes or more gone. That, you know, so we really have to think about, you know, the trade-offs here. We're talking about difficult votes, but I think a lot of legislators need to understand what's worse, you know, passing funding or losing this entire transit.
So, Rob, you hear us talking about Philly, for example, as a just an example to look at, really. Is Chicago learning from this?
Well, certainly don't. We're hoping to avoid the outcome in Philadelphia. I mean, I do understand the difficulty of some of the votes on revenue, but I think the thing to understand, particularly when it comes to transit, there isn't really a trade-off. We are an economic multiplier. The money that you invest in transit is recirculated through the economy, mm-hmm. and I know it doesn't come out on a balance sheet in the budget process in Springfield, but investing in transit creates more economic activity, creates more revenue, creates more opportunity for not just individuals, but our entire region and state, as the senator mentioned. And so I understand it's a tough vote, but if you look at it just purely economically, it shouldn't be, because you know, economic investment in the transit system is seen throughout mm-hmm. the entire regional economy. In terms of Philadelphia, you know, we are looking to delay the impacts of the cuts as long as we possibly can. And we are working through our 2026 budget process right now. But this problem is unavoidable. We have a gap, a 20% operating gap. Mm-hmm. And if we do not address that, we are going to be looking at the cuts that Kyle mentioned. And everyone, I think, shares the common objective of avoiding that at all costs.
So what's RTA doing? I know you have an ad hoc committee meeting today, you had it earlier today.
I just left.
Okay.
So they're beginning the process for the budget process. We are on a calendar year, and I'll just quickly touch on some of the key points. Next month, we will be issuing what are called revenue marks, which is, hey, this is the amount of money we are projecting is available to the system to operate trains and buses, you know, for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The service boards will then come back and tell us, okay, this is what we think it's going to cost. We'll, you know, match those up, and then that will sort of reset the fiscal cliff number, because it will change over time. It gets worse. If I can be a little bit more pessimistic in the situation here, this is not a one-time problem. We have to make a solution for the long term, as the senator said, because, you know, we can't just— it's not just a one-year gap.
Yeah.
We have a structural problem that we need to address. Mm-hmm. So here shortly we'll have that updated fiscal cliff number, but it's going to be about that 20% of our operating budget, which would translate into that 40% service cut.
Senator, your thoughts here as we discuss sort of the depth of this problem, and catch us up on what we don't know. What are state lawmakers doing?
Well, we're obviously continuing conversations. As I mentioned, the Senate passed our legislation. It's important to note, as Audrey mentioned, the robust reforms that have been included in the legislation and have been widely agreed upon. This is incredibly important to the integration of the system to ensure all of our riders, the more than 1 million people that ride every day, are able to get to their job, their school, their doctor in a seamless way. But it's also to ensure that we're addressing some of the challenges historically that have existed.
Mm-hmm.
95 out of the top 100 longest commutes in the Chicago area region stem from Black and Brown communities. We need to address that, and more funding will do that, but reforms will also help with that. I will just say on the funding piece,
yes,
it's incredibly important to note, we passed a historic investment of $1.5 billion through the Senate. And when we talk about how hard revenue votes are, and they are, because as I do and every other legislator does, we have to explain those votes to our residents and our taxpayers in our districts. That being said, as Rob mentioned, every dollar that goes into public transit, $13 goes back into our local economy, number one. Number two, we tried to pick a variety of funding sources. The environmental impact fee on online orders, for example. There are 742 million online deliveries every year in Illinois. We've seen this model fund public transit in Minnesota, fund public transit in Colorado. And I'll just say this, you know, we try to avoid funding sources that are going to hit working and middle-class families.
Mm-hmm.
This is $1.50 a fee for environmental impact fee for online orders. 65% of online orders are $200 or more. So
what should we draw from that?
Well, we should draw that we were able to pass a $1.5 billion transformational investment out of the Senate with 32 votes using a couple of different funding sources mm-hmm. that have been tried in other areas of the country. And my question is simply this. The business groups from the Civic Committee, the Civic Federation, and the Chambers of Commerce have all said, we need to make this investment. Yet some of them disagree with these funding sources. And there may be other elected officials that do as well. My question is, what is your plan? What is your plan for $1.5 billion? Because we put our plan forward. It has passed one chamber.
Yeah.
And we want to see this get done. So if you have a better idea, let us know. If you don't, pass our bill and send it to the governor.
Yeah. Audrey, next steps here. What do? Persuade lawmakers?
Yeah, this is complicated, yeah. And we're having lots of conversations.
Tell me more about what advocacy groups
sure.
are doing.
Our organization, as well as Kyle's, are part of a coalition called the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition, and there are more than 200 groups that include civic organizations, environmental justice organizations that are all behind this and are very much advocating. We're advocating for the bill that Senator Villavalam passed. We are having many conversations with legislators. There are town hall meetings where residents can meet directly with their legislators and tell them about, you know, how this would impact them. So I think a lot of it is just helping people understand what the choices are before us mm-hmm. and help everyone make the best choice for the region and understand that this is really, while it may seem hard, it really is an opportunity.
Yeah.
There are just so many compelling facts. Like, for example, that 13% of households in this region don't have a car and 39% of only have one car. One third of the people in the state of Illinois don't have a driver's license. We need, and I would say that this is not just about transit riders. This is about everybody. Everybody depends on transit, even if they're not riding transit. You might have heard that congestion in this region is the second worst in the country. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what it's going to be like if we shut down 40% of our transit system? I mean, we'll be paralyzed. So that affects everyone else.
It'll be something like what Kyle said at the beginning of this conversation, right?
Yes.
A disaster, right?
Yeah.
What are you hearing from folks, Kyle, just on the streets? Are people generally aware of this?
People aren't aware. And so that's why we've been out talking to people basically every weekend mm-hmm. since April.
Yeah.
We're out there with palm cards, talking with people. I was just in Wheaton at the French Market on Saturday.
Okay.
Just letting people know what's going on.
What can riders do right now?
Yeah, the biggest thing you can do right now is honestly contact your legislator.
Yeah.
So you can head to savetransit.org, and we have a couple of really easy ways for you to either call your legislators or to send them an email and let them know the urgency of this and that this is important to you, because they need to hear that you understand the impact that this is going to have on your life.
Yeah.
And that's the most critical part.
Yeah, and if I could add a couple resources that riders and other interested folks can take advantage of.
Sure.
At rtachicago.org, there's a new sort of fiscal cliff hub, which has all of the information, facts and figures, but also the budget timeline and sort of milestones that we're going to unfortunately have to move through in mm-hmm. this process. And then this week, Wednesday, the RTA will be hosting a coalition sort of conference call that anyone can dial into. You can register at the website. Where we're going to discuss both legislation and the funding gap and the other issues, but also allow folks to ask questions or offer alternative perspectives. And so we need to have this conversation, right now.
I'm thinking of the timing and the urgency Kyle just flagged, because RTA is growing, Rob, right? You've got, 5,000 new employees in the last couple of years?
CTA, yeah.
CTA. So, more than 1 million riders in a day, I think, is where we're at now. But I'm just thinking of a possible funding cut coming at a terrible time.
Yeah. I mean, the clawback from the effects of the pandemic, crawling out of that sort of challenging situation took a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And including restaffing for the agencies. We have achieved sort of that full schedule that existed pre-pandemic. And as you mentioned, ridership is increasing. We just have a lot of momentum here, and it would be terrible to interrupt that. But it's not just a one-time event. I want to stress that it's not like a light switch. If we have to make some of these service cuts, the effort to get back just to even is incredibly
significant.
That's going to
be the really, really tough part.
And there's no guarantee on certain lines if they do have to go away that they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we have seen historically. And so our system has never had a shutdown. And so I just want to stress, while there's a lot of conversation over the years about, you know, doomsdays when it comes to certain government programs, this is a catastrophic, urgent issue, mm-hmm. and we want to avoid it at all costs.
Senator, lawmakers put forth at least a couple of times different plans to replace RTA with a new entity, the Northern Illinois Transit Authority. Where's that at this point?
Well, and that's a great point, and it does highlight the level of conversations and negotiations we've had till this point. There were two different pieces of legislation introduced. One, the Metropolitan Mobility Act,
mm-hmm.
Which would completely consolidate the RTA, CTA, Metra, and PACE into one overarching agency and really streamline everything.
Is that what we need? An even more powerful regional group?
Well, what I would say is this. We had one approach in that respect, and then the other approach was, or the bill was regarding empowering the current RTA to be able to do more and make more decisions. Ultimately, we reached a compromise, and we empowered a new board,
mm-hmm.
and ensured that that board is going to be in charge of capital plans, service plans, make sure that they're fully in charge of fare policy. The reality is, as much as we may want to think otherwise, the everyday person is not paying attention or does not have the level of passion that we might have.
Mm-hmm.
If the agency says CTA, Metra, PACE, or RTA, they just want it to work. They want it to work. They want to be able to get to point A from point A to point B in a reliable, safe way, an mm-hmm. accessible way. And so that is the compromise we reached with House Bill 3438. And I think it really took into account all of the different testimony we've had throughout the, you know, several hearings.
Yeah.
But again, I also want to point this out, which is this doesn't impact Chicago. It impacts the suburbs of Cook County. It impacts the collar counties. 30% of PACE riders transfer to the CTA.
Right.
There's 80 Metra stations in the city of Chicago.
This is a regional issue.
This is a regional issue that, quite frankly, is going to be felt if we don't get this done throughout the entire state and the Midwest.
So I need each of you to give me 30 seconds on this here, because funding, as I alluded to at the top, it's going to be revisited in the fall sessions. What are you hoping to see? Kyle?
You know, I hope that we can have additional conversations about progressive revenue options. I would really like for us to be able to add a tollway fee. I think that would be a really great way to shift the burden mm-hmm. onto non-Illinois residents who are using our infrastructure. But ultimately, I want to save $1.5 billion for public transit.
Yeah. Audrey?
Yeah, we need to hit a number of $1.5 billion in operations money every year, as well as retain the reforms that were in the Northern Illinois Transit Authority Act.
A tall order.
I think we can do it.
Yeah. Rob?
I just think it's important to remember we are fully supportive of reforms to the system. But this has not been a managerial or sort of structural issue. We have an operations funding gap. And what we've seen our system experiencing, other systems have experienced. And so it is always convenient to say it's about the money, but this is definitely a funding issue that has been consistently underfunded for decades. This is not something that snuck up on us. And so reform is great, and mm-hmm. we think it's important so people can have confidence in the system. But we're a highly operating, efficiently operating system, and we need the funding to deliver what people want, which is more trains,
right.
more buses.
Last word to you, Senator.
I would just say, yeah, obviously, we passed House Bill 3438 out of the Senate, robust reforms, keeping those intact. And we had our plan for $1.5 billion in a transformational investment. If there is a better plan, as my mother says, we have two ears and one mouth.
Yeah.
I'll use them in proportion. I'm all ears. If there isn't a better plan, we'd like to see our bill move forward. But again, I do agree, and I think we all agree, that transformational investment of $1.5 billion is the marker.
Yeah.
So any plan that's less than that is a non-starter.
We'll leave it there. Senator Ram Vilivalam is Illinois' representative of the 8th District. Rob Nash is director of government affairs for the RTA. Kyle Lucas is executive director at Better Streets Chicago. And Audrey Wenink is director of transportation for the Metropolitan Planning Council. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Gina Montagna. It was edited by Daniel Tucker and mixed by Micah Yasin. Here on Reset, we talk about the issues that impact you. We bring you the context and information that you need to keep you up to date with the latest happening in and around Chicago. So to stay in the know, consider subscribing to the pod wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks so much. We'll meet again tomorrow.